worship in the Bible, in the Old Testament, never talk about music. It's about a posture. I'm not even supposed to be talking about this. This is not in my notes at all. Worship is a posture that we lay before God, we bow down before Him and say, Lord, I surrender. Not my will, but yours be done. Amen. Sorry, I do have a brother-in-law in here who's saying amen and very loud. It's and that's him. His name is Gary. Everyone can say hi, Gary. The one with the golden hair. Not Brandon today. That's pure real gold. Thank you, Jesus. You know, God has been really working in the series, The Five Smooth Stones. And I really want to thank Kelvin for last week. I think he set a foundation of what hope is supposed to look like. Hope in God, not in the circumstances, not in ourselves, not in anything else, but hope in God, that our hope is anchored in Him. And so I felt and I was praying and I was preparing, and God was actually working in me about hope as well. So I said, I can't move from hope to love, because the next one is supposed to be love. So my friends, if you've come here to listen about love today, I'm sorry, it's not about love. Come next week, okay? But it's about hope today again. But I really want to thank Kelvin. He laid the foundation, a beautiful foundation. He showed that God is his deliverer, that God is his protector. And he showed even in King Jehoshaphat where God fights your battle. That's amazing. So he's pointing to the person of Jesus that we need to have our hope in, that our hope is supposed to be anchored in him. And I just want to recap this few stones that we have already done. The first time, our story, if you're here for the first time, welcome. If you haven't been here, it's okay. I hope you can catch up. And I just want to welcome Nathan back from his holidays. Auntie Kenley, you are well. Uncle, you are well. Uncle Tony, you are well. In Jesus' name. He just got his results and it's good. It's cleared. Amen. So good. Come on, give God the glory. Hey, thank you, Jesus. God is working. God is doing something. So we started on this five smooth stones, and it's about David and Goliath. And we talked about knowing the three-part being, where we're body, soul, and spirit, from 1 Thessalonians 5:23. And we learned that we don't fight against flesh and blood. Don't fight against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, and rulers of darkness in the heavenly realms. That is the place we fight from, okay? So if I'm angry with my mom, my flesh is actually the one that's... You see, I'm using my mom today. Someone told me, don't use my mom so much. But she's back. I didn't even realize. Welcome back, Mom. So, welcome back, Mom. But I know when I want to argue with her, I know it's my flesh and it's not the Spirit of God. The reason why we argue so much, because we're so alike, we clash. Right, Mom? I love you. Can I say something? Why is it so important that we need to know how to fight? Can someone tell me? Hey? To win something? Oh, okay. Why do we need to fight? Does anyone know? Come on. To protect ourselves? Yeah? Yes? Hey? Hallelujah. We want to speak our right. Wow, go Auntie Irene. We want to speak our right. That's why we fight. Don't fight with Uncle Tony, okay? To prove that you're right, Auntie Irene. The wives are always right. My husband's not here, I can say that. Look at the person next to you. Just look at them. Look at them. Don't look at me for a while. You can look, husband and wife can look at each other. I want you to look at them. I mean, yes, families too can look at each other. I want you to look at them. That, do you know that that person next to you, God has a destiny in them? That God wants freedom for them? That God has such a big purpose in their life? Did you know that? Look at that person and look them in the eye and say, hey, God has a destiny for you. But there is an enemy. Look at them and say, there is an enemy. And this Goliath is not going to stop. And it wants to kill, steal, and destroy your purpose, your destiny. He wants to deceive you. He wants to distract you and discourage you and divide you even to the point of death. But then you're going to tell that person next to you, hey, I'm here with you. I'm not going to let that happen. And you're not going to let that happen. Because that's why we fight. That's why we fight. And there are 5 stones that David picked up. And you know, he didn't need 5 stones to throw at Goliath. He only needed 1. Yes, Goliath had other brothers that also later he slayed. But the 5 stones that we talked about, the first stone was the blood. The blood, not just any other person's blood, not my blood, not Doug's blood, not Stephen's blood. It is the blood of Jesus. Hebrews 12:24 actually says that the blood that speaks better than anything. And that same blood has washed you and me clean today. That same blood is that He poured out on the cross for us, that Jesus, oh, that beautiful name, Jesus, 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 that He took the cup of suffering for you and me. That blood, that beautiful blood, that wise blood of Jesus. And guess what? I don't know about you, but I know it's raining in my veins. It is running through my veins. Is it running in your veins? Yeah? Do you believe it? Do you wake up every morning and say, hey, the blood of Jesus covers me today. The blood of Jesus running through my veins today. Do we say that in the morning when we wake up? Who says that in the morning? Oh, Nancy, hallelujah. Yes, that's why He covers you. He protects you. I'm not saying He doesn't protect you here, okay? Please, please don't get me wrong. Hear me right. I better be careful what I say. He covers you. Because can I tell you something? There are people praying for you. If it's not your family, there are people in the church already praying for you. Okay? They're covering you. Do not let the enemy deceive you. The second stone that we talked about was actually, going back to the blood. The blood, we overcome by, come on, you know this verse. If you don't know this verse, I'm going to cry. We overcome by the what? By the what? Yes, come on. And? All right, we're going to learn this one. For the next 1 month, this is what you are going to speak on, okay? We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Come on, repeat that. We overcome and the word of our testimony. My goodness, I'm going to repeat that every week. And then I'll give you some chocolates if you remember. Okay? The second stone was about faith. And we distinguished faith and trust at the time. And we realized that faith actually talks about the character of God. And we looked at David. Yes, so see, these are the 5 smooth stones. Thank you, Dennis. The 5 smooth stones. We talked about the blood, which is our justification. You've been justified because of the blood of Jesus. you are now in right standing with God. And stone two talks about faith, which is He is our shield. He didn't throw you a shield. He is your shield. Jesus is your shield. Amen? And that faith is in the character of God. I just said that before, didn't I? Yes. And so today, I want to continue on the stone of hope. You know, Kelvin preached so good last week, and I was really, really thinking about what he was saying. And did you realize that hope and faith kind of is similar? Did you know that? I've been asking God, what does it look like? How is it so different? It is similar but different. But as believers, we need to know that hope is not a wishing well kind of thing, that how maybe other people outside would be. And maybe you would say that, oh, I wish I could get the job. I really like that job. I wish I could get it. But when we're believers, we don't wish like that. We don't hope like that. It's not a wishing well. It's not something that you wish for, okay? But it's different. And I want to show you something here. Oh, sorry. I forgot to introduce you my sermon title. Did I give my sermon title? No, not that one. You don't have it? Yes. The Rope of Hope. You know, the last 2 weeks, I have been surrounded by a lot of pain and almost emotional turmoil a little bit, but not that bad. But like I said, the spirit of despair was really wanting to come and overcome me. If despair is the weight of pulling you under, hope is the rope that pulls you out. And that's why my message today is called Hope, the Rope of Hope. And here's the truth I want, and I hope you remember, that a rope not held is a rescue refused. Did you hear that? A rope not held is a rescue refused. So God would throw us the rope of hope through His promises, through His presence, through His people. But it is actually up to us to actually grab it and not let go. So as I was saying about faith and hope, that how similar they are, but they're different. And I'm just going to go in that. We're just going to look at the table. If you can see it. Can you see it, guys? Awesome. By the way, I did the slides by myself today. Yes. I'm impressed too. Took me till 12:30 last night. Trying to match. But you know what? God is good. We've always got something to learn. Amen. And I want us to actually understand, just quickly to understand faith. So faith, the Hebrew word is emunah. I don't think you need to know why we need to learn about the Hebrew word, but it's emunah, okay? It means steadfastness. It means reliability, fidelity, and loyalty. Faith isn't just a mental agreement. It's leaning your whole self into God's reliability. It's both trusting God and being trustworthy toward God. And hope. Hope, he's putting that out. Hope in Hebrew is called tikva. Everybody say tikva. I kind of like that word, tikva. Okay? It means to wait, to expect, to bind together like a cord. It's the idea of holding tension with expectation. It's not passive waiting, but tense, hopeful anticipation. So the word tikva was actually found from Rahab as well. Rahab used the scarlet thread or the scarlet cord that she used. And if you don't know who Rahab is, she was a prostitute, and Boaz actually came from her. And if you know the story of Boaz, comes Jesse. After Jesse is David. So okay, so that's where the genealogy of Jesus come from a prostitute. You know what that means? That God can use anybody. Anybody. It's not your perfection that God has called you to actually serve Him and call to be in His kingdom. So faith says, trust and believe in what God has said or promised. But hope says, confident expectation of a future God will bring. Faith is present assurance. Hope is future anticipation. Can you tell the difference? Yeah? So now when you say, oh, I have faith in something. Oh, what are you talking about? Okay? Oh, I have hope because I know who my God is. Faith says God can. Hope says God will in His time. Ooh, sorry, not in Him time. Bad spelling. In His time. Hebrews 11:1 says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen. And hope says, Romans 8:24 says, hope that is seen is not hope at all. So what does that look like for us? Faith brings conviction within ourselves. And can I tell you, that's how David did it. He spent time with God in the fields, and he knows, he spent time, he worshiped Him. So he said, I know who my God is. You know, when he killed the lion and when he killed the bear, you know what? He knows who his God is. So he has that. It's real to him. It's not fake. It's a conviction. And because of that, he can trust God. He can walk with God. And nothing, even though his brothers and everyone else was bullying him because he's an outcast, you know what? He said, no, I trust in who my God is. And because of that conviction and that trust, you know what? His posture is that I can stand in boldness. But hope says, and this is how David even do it. He said, because he knows what God had done for him, he can now, when he stood out, when he walked out onto the field to face Goliath, you know what? He stood in faith, and his posture was boldness. And he said, I trust in my God. But then the expectation here is that, hey, I have this hope in God because I know my God was with me when I killed David. When I killed the lion and when I killed the bear. God was with me, so I have this expectation. So when I am going to throw that stone, I tell you, hish, rabasetereboho. You know what? He has that endurance to take him through. He said, because this is just another lion, this is just another bear. And you know what? But he's anchored. He was waiting for his time. He was anchored in who God is, and he was patient. Ah, how beautiful is God. How beautiful is that? Let me try and reinforce this. It's 4:10. Let me reinforce this. This is the faith. Yeah? So I'm looking at this chair and say, this looks like a sturdy chair. This is a strong chair. When I sit on it, I'm not going to fall. And if I say, this is my God, not this chair, we don't believe in all that. But if I say this is my God, I'm saying He is strong. He's going to hold me when I sit on Him. Yeah? And I'm not going to fall. That is faith. And because I know that, I'm going to sit on it. Yes, I trust. You know what? I have not fallen. It is steady. It is strong. It's powerful. This is who my God is. This is my trust that I can sit in it. And my posture. Come, guys, you want to try this chair? You want to sit with me? Hey, it's pretty comfy. But you know what? Hope is. That's one example. Thanks to Morian, I can borrow his crutches. This is what hope is. You're holding on when you're so broken, but you know your God. Because I had no problem sitting down in the chair before. But I'm holding on to this because I know I'm not going to fall. This crutches is Jesus. You're not going to fall. You're not going to fall. Because you have that faith in Him, and hope will never let you down, because hoping in Him will never, ever disappoint you. But hoping in circumstances, if you're hoping that you're going to get that job, if you're going to get this and you're going to get that house or going to get that car, I tell you, my friends, you're in a wrong church. That's not church. That's not Jesus. That's not Christ. Hope is in Him and Him alone, not in circumstances. Faith is the hands that holds the rope, the tikva. It's a very heavy rope. You should see how the men actually were playing with this before. I shall not name them. Faith is the hands that holds the rope. Hope is the rope that is tied to the anchor. I don't have an anchor. But I was going to hold my Bible, but I've forgotten my Bible. To tie it up together, because that's your anchor. Jesus is, the Word is your anchor. Yeah? And if faith lets go, hope drifts away. But when you have faith in God's character, you keep holding on until hope pulls you to shore. We go to the next slide. If you look at this rope, can I get my strong man? Josh, come on. Josh Ho, sorry. Josh Go is also strong. Oops. Come on, Josh. Josh Go. Josh Ho said you come up, is it? Josh Go, come on. The rope is your tikva, which is your hope. Can I get, where's EJ? He's not here. Oh, he's, Josh Wee. Would you like to come on? Come, Josh Wee. So you hold that one end, or whichever end. So this rope is your tikva. Even when everything else feels like it's slipping, you don't let go. So I need you to pull from one end to the other. Come, the other Josh can come here. Because notice that your circumstances is not tied into the but it is tied in to a mighty God. So the mighty God is that end. Sorry, Josh. You're going to try and pull. You're going to pull and see who pulls harder. It's going to get you. I want you to watch this, guys. There's something spiritual about this. Thank you. Guys, that's so awesome. But do you see that image? Because I need you to know who's at the end of the rope that's pulling you. Yeah? You may be holding on. You may slip off. I was hoping that Josh would slip. Sorry. Because it's an action to show that sometimes we slip up. But there are people here to come around you to support you. But not only that, you have Jesus. You have the presence of God. Yeah? So how do we slay those giants within us and before us? Those intimidation, those bullies, those insecurities. And sometimes they're even in front of us. Sometimes it could be our loved ones that is actually really putting us down. How do we slay the giants? It says, hope anchors in God's character. What you need to do first is you need to anchor yourself in His character. And we talked about it before, but Hebrews 6:19 to 20 actually says that we have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain where our forerunner Jesus has entered on our behalf. You see, my friends, an anchor. See, I got an anchor up there. An anchor only holds if it's on solid ground. It has to be on solid ground. So our hope is anchored not in circumstances, but in the unchanging character of God. God is faithful to His word. Numbers 23:19 says, God is not human that He should lie. Not a human being that He would change His mind. So therefore, this God that we're putting our hope in, He cannot lie. And He cannot fail. He will never fail you. Just as a ship's anchor grips the ocean floor, our hope grips on the throne of God. If you're gripping on circumstances, can I break that right now in the name of Jesus Christ? But instead you turn it around and hold on to the throne room of God. So the rope of hope is tied to the anchor, as I said just now, which is God's faithfulness. So if you hold the rope, you're secure. You are even secure in the storm. The other hope that we need to have, that we need to know, is a weapon against despair, as I brought up earlier on. Psalm 42:5 says, why, my soul, are you downcast? Put your hope in God. Psalm 33:20-22 says, we wait in hope for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. May your unfailing love be with us, Lord, even as we put our hope in you. And I read before, Isaiah 61:3 says, to give them a crown of beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Despair is like a current that pulls you under. Hope is the rope that lifts you up. The spirit of despair says, this is the end. This is who you are. But hope says, I'm still writing your story. God is still writing your story. God is not done with you and with me. The rope doesn't remove us from the storm. It keeps us connected to the one who's pulling you out of the waves. And that's what Josh and the other Josh did. Is pulling you out of the waves. And hope gives strength to wait. I want to tell you a little bit about this, but before that, as we read before, Romans 8:24-25, we hope for what we don't yet have and wait for it patiently. Hope doesn't deny the pain. It refuses to end the story too soon. Yeah, I'm going to repeat that. Hope doesn't deny the pain that you're going through. It refuses to end the story too soon. And waiting isn't wasted. Romans 5:3-5 says, we glory in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces what? Perseverance. And perseverance what? Character. And character what? Hope. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. You know, I can say this because my sister and brother-in-law are here, and my mom. You know, when my father didn't speak to us for so many years, more than 20 years, I think, the waiting to actually, the expectation to actually one day speak to my dad is there, right, Aka? We actually believe that one day, we kept on saying yes, one day we will be reunited. One day we will be reunited. And it, you know how long it took? More than 20 years. But in that 20 years, God was shaping me. And I know He was shaping my sister. He was shaping me to learn to forgive my dad, to bring me up to be the woman that God has called me. I'm not perfect, but God was shaping me to learn to persevere, to build my character, and to still know who my God is and what He's going to deliver and what He's going to do. That's what He's doing. That's what He's doing. So if you're waiting for something, if you're waiting to see the outcome of your situation, I waited 20 over years. And my God is still faithful. He's still faithful yesterday, today, and He is still faithful forevermore. And I tell you, and I kid you not, He will do it. He will do it. The longer you hold on to that rope, the stronger your grip becomes, right? Josh, tell me, when you were holding on to the rope, the stronger your grip became, isn't it? Josh, we? Yes. Not Josh, go. Josh, we. When Josh was pulling you, the stronger your grip became. Because that's what God is wanting to build in us, that muscle of hope that we know how to use. My friends, I want to encourage you to still continue and anchor yourself, even though the answer is not immediate. Auntie Irene, I'm sure what you had to go through and believe and trust what God is doing through with Uncle Tony was a hard place to be. But you persevered. You believed. And you were hoping, you're putting your hope in God. And He delivered. Amen? And can I say that sometimes we may not see Him delivering. We may not see it in our time. And we may not see the answer in our time. Does that mean that God is not faithful? Question. Does that mean He's not faithful when we don't see it in our time? He is still faithful. So we got to get our act together. Don't act like He's not doing anything. Is that all right? Now the last point here, second last point. Hope comes from the Spirit, not circumstances. Kelvin brought this out last week and he said, Romans 15:13 says, may the God of hope fill you with what? Joy and peace as you trust in Him. And? So that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Okay, so it's not your own strength that you're going to get this hope from. And it is, we don't live like how the world would live, that we just would wish it, wish this hope. And you know, just a quick one. In the last 2 weeks, when I sensed the spirit of heaviness, I felt no amount of sleep could have helped me. No amount of Korean drama that I had to watch to try and lift it. It didn't lift. But it's the spirit of... Sorry, I'm a Korean drama fan. Someone asked me, why don't you go down south and, you know, have a breather and, you know, go do something nice for yourself. I said, Korean drama's good enough. I just want to remind you that God has filled you with the Holy Spirit. And that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives inside of you, my friends. Do you know that? You know, I ask the question, do you wake up every morning and actually plead the blood of Jesus over you? Do you wake up every morning and say that, hey, it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me? Do you wake up every morning and actually say that, hey, that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead is actually in me? Whoa, what am I going to do to my spouse? What am I going to tell my friend? How am I going to pray for that person? Hey, that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives inside of you. So why do we act like a failure? Why do we walk like we don't have a God? Don't let your flesh get in the way, my friends. And that same spirit knows how to go through suffering because he endured the cross for you and for me. And that same spirit is in you. So when suffer comes, because God didn't promise it's going to be a bed of roses every day of our lives. It's not. It's not going to be. It's going to be quite tough. But because you have Holy Spirit in you, Holy Spirit in you that overcame, that resurrected. So you have the resurrection power within you. So my friends, don't forget. When you go out of this door today, when you go back home, when you go to school, when you go to work, when you see your children, when you see your spouse, and everything is going on wrong, you know what? Say, hey, I've got Holy Spirit within me. That same spirit that knows how to go through suffering, that knows how to go through pain, that bore the cross, that took the cross, that took the nail for you and for me. Genuine hope is one of the distinguishing characteristics that is different between a believer and those who do not know Jesus. My friends, we always have hope. The world will wallow in despair and find ways to distract them, like me, Korean drama, or some people go to the gym 6 times a week but not wanting to face God. There is always hope for tomorrow because we live in victory. So it's only a matter of time before God brings life out of what we hope for. It's only a matter of time. And the last hope is hope that must be held unto. 1 Thessalonians 5:8 says, put on faith and love as a breastplate and the hope of salvation as a helmet. Colossians 1:23 says, if you continue in your faith established and firm and do not move from the hope held out in the gospel. 2 Corinthians 4:8-9 says, you know, I'm perplexed but not in despair, persecuted but not abandoned. My friends, what is showing here that hope is not passive. It's a choice to keep holding on. Sometimes God's rescue comes a bit slowly, like my father. But it's like a steady pull of a rope. And we must not let go mid-rescue. People let go when they stop trusting, they stop remembering God's faithfulness, and stop staying connected to His people. And this rope that I mentioned earlier, a rope not held is a rescue refused. God's saying, I'm throwing you out. I'm throwing out this rope to you. He's throwing out His word to you. He already filled you up with Holy Spirit. And He said, I've gathered you among people, a family here, of community to be with you. But He said, would you hold on to it? Will you grip tight? And will you not let go? Is this speaking to you, church? With heads bow. Accomplish what God designed them to. Next week we will find out how love slays like no other giants can touch, no other stones can touch. But today, church, God is a God of hope. He is a living hope. It is not baseless. It is a firm foundation. God is throwing out his tikva to you. He's saying it's strong enough to hold you because this tikva is tied to him. Would you take on, would you hold on to that rope? If any one of you, and this rope, even though it was a joke before, but I want to ask us as a community, if you want to come and hold on to this rope, I invite you to come to the front, whichever how far this rope can go. Whoever feels like they want to hold on to this rope, I want to pray over us as a church. To hold on to this rope, to believe what God can do, because he's telling us not to give up. I'm standing for my church, First Light Church. I'm standing for my marriage. I'm standing for my family who doesn't even know God yet. I'm believing and I'm standing. Space. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on, Uncle Tony. Awesome. Anyone else want to hold on to this rope that we're believing God for? But first of all, if you all are just sitting at the moment, can I invite you to also pray? Can you please stand? I'm going to invite you to stand. Stand and believe and pray this prayer with me. But first of all, I want to do this. I want you to pray this with me. Is that okay? Father God, I come to you in the name of Jesus. Thank you that you are the God of hope. That in your presence there is fullness of joy. I confess that I have carried heaviness, discouragement, and despair. I lay it all down at your feet right now. In the name of Jesus, I renounce every lie of the enemy that says nothing will change, that you have forgotten me, and that my future is hopeless. I reject and break agreement with the spirit of despair and the spirit of heaviness. You have no power over me because I belong to Jesus Christ. Lord, I receive the garment of praise instead of the spirit of heaviness. I receive joy for mourning and beauty for ashes. I choose to hold the rope of hope you have thrown to me, anchored in Jesus Christ. Fill me now, O God, with your Holy Spirit and overflow my heart with joy, with peace and confident expectation. My hope, O God, is anchored in you and you alone. My hope, O God, for our church, for our families, for our children, for our children's children, that they will know and know and know and know, who Jesus is and the hope that you have for each one of them. Oh, hallelujah. My hope is anchored. My whole family's hope is anchored. My church's hope is anchored in you and you alone. And in Jesus' mighty name. And we say, amen. Hallelujah. Come on, give him a shout of praise.